You can tell I'm in a good place, knowing how microphones work and everything. Welcome everyone on Fight TV. We're getting ready for Soraya turning the page. I'm very excited for this panel today. It's the first appearance that the former Paige has had since leaving WWE. I know there's a lot of people with a lot of questions on their mind. We will be taking viewer questions later near the end of this panel, so keep your eyes open for that. What a crazy life and a career Soraya has had in her 29 years on this planet. She began her wrestling career technically in utero because she was, her mother, Sweet Soraya, was wrestling a match not knowing she was 7 months pregnant at the time, which is pretty wild. That's more ring experience than anyone I think in this building can say. But she's had such a crazy up and down in her career. She started wrestling at the age of 13. Got signed at 18, and by 21 years old, she became the youngest Divas champion in WWE history. Of course, many years went by. She's been in movies. Her life has become a movie. And then, unfortunately, her career ended due to injury. She had to retire at the age of 25. But that's not the end of the Soraya story. It is only the end of one chapter. And so today here at the Nashville Fairgrounds, it's time for us to turn the page. Ladies and gentlemen, making your first appearance post-WWE, please welcome Soraya. That out of the way. Thank you so much for being here. How do you like Nashville?
Man, I have so much anxiety right now. You know what? I haven't done a signing in a few years, or just done a panel in general in a few years. So just like seeing people outside of Twitter right now is a little bit frantic. Right. But thanks for being here.
Yeah, you're anxious. I'm very anxious about this, but I think we're going to do just fine here.
Yeah.
How does it feel to be amongst the fans? Again, you have a meet and greet later today.
Yeah.
You're very excited about that?
Yeah, we're doing it straight after this, actually. So If you're not in line, you might as well just leave right now. You know what I mean?
Yeah, seriously.
You already know my story, right? Whatever.
Yeah, why are we here?
No. Yeah.
So this is your first appearance, like I said, after you left WWE. So are we going to be seeing any vignettes coming soon? Were you like breaking out of prison, or you know, breaking the prison walls, or
people wouldn't be shocked,
going
right?
Going back into a prison for some reason, because
going back into a prison.
I bet those vignettes are coming soon as well. But like, how do you feel? Do you feel like a free woman now that you're like not under contract?
Yeah, the shackles are off. It's crazy. You know what? I do love and appreciate WWE. I'll never talk shit about them. I see kids in the front row trying not to cuss. They. Oh, okay, I can cuss. All right, well, I'll never talk shit about them, right? High five.
Yeah. Soraya's for the children.
Yeah. PG over here, you know what I mean? It feels good. I was like, when I spoke to Johnny Laurinaitis, like he called me, and I already knew it was coming, because I'm like, you're about to call me in the middle of SmackDown right now. That leaves no room for negotiation then, Mr. Laurinaitis. But, he was just like, yeah, so, you know, we had this whole conversation. It was cool. He was like, so you're probably not going to re-sign, like, right now. And I was just like, totally fine. I am absolutely fine with that. Because I was so tired of sitting at home doing absolutely nothing and not being allowed to do anything either. Luckily, I had, you know, my Twitch. But, like, it's not the same as getting out there and being in front of the fans in person, you know. So I was really excited, nervous, but excited. I'm like, man, now I don't get to sit at home and get a paycheck every week. This sucks, you know.
Yeah.
But now I get to, you know, really get out there and do everything that I couldn't do before.
Yeah, it's amazing. What are you up to? I mean, I know you were doing some entrepreneur stuff in the last several years.
Yeah.
How's that going?
Yeah, it's good. So I'm in the middle of writing a book right now, which I'm really excited about. Can I say that, Meech? Because I just did. Where is he? There he is. There's my manager over there, you guys. He's just like, oh, my gosh. He'll text me when I'm about to tweet something. He's like, please don't tweet it. And I'm like, you know what? I'm going to. Sorry, Meech. We got a book that it's going to be like another year before it officially comes out, though. So we're in the middle of writing that. And we're doing some other things, but I'm not allowed to say anything right now. He's shaking his head. But it's non-wrestling related. Sorry, you guys.
Oh, so it's not like going to be like an autobiography on like you.
I'm not going to be going to AEW anytime soon. Is that like that's usually my what everyone keeps tweeting. Okay. So they're just like, "How's your neck? When are you going to AEW?" And I'm like, "AEW seems great.
Of course, yeah. Take that question.
Out. Oh, yeah, delete that. Yeah. but I love AEW, and like I would love to face you know Britt Baker one day if the time was right. You know that'd be awesome. And all my friends are there now, so I'm like, well. You never know.
That's another big question. Yeah, how is your neck? Do you see yourself, if not AEW, we're getting this out of the way now, do you see yourself getting back into the ring anytime, like soon, the way we've seen other wrestlers come back from similar injuries?
Yeah!
I want to see it.
Yeah, well, I would love to, for sure. Yeah, I'd love to. I mean, having your career taken away from you without you wanting it to, obviously, not retiring and stuff like that, is like not on my terms, which is really disappointing. And, I already knew that, you know, once my neck got kicked in the middle of, like, the live event match, once I went down, I was just like, this is it. This is the end of my career right here. Like, I already knew it because I couldn't feel my body, first of all. Like, I lost control of my arms and then my legs, and then I'm just, like, laying there, and I'm looking up the referee, and I'm just like, I can't feel my body. Like, I'm paralyzed right now. And so he, like, threw up the X, and, like, I look at poor Sasha in the corner, and she's just like, I'm so sorry, and I'm like... If it wasn't you, it was going to be someone else, right?
Yeah. And that's just an important thing, too, because I know a lot of heat came on Sasha for that.
I hated that. Yeah.
And you've gone on record, you know, you don't hold any kind of grudge against her for that at all.
Yes, yeah, wrestling, dude. Like, wrestling isn't just, you know, it's not ballet. I say ballet, but their feet are all kinds of fucked up, right? But
ballet is technically tough.
But, ballet is tough, but... It's not a smooth sport. Like, you're going to get hurt at some point in your career, you know? And unfortunately, I thought I could come back and do exactly the same things as what I could do prior to my first neck injury. And so that's on me. Like, that's my fault. Because I did the same move with Bailey literally the day before. Mm. And then, unfortunately, timing was just a little bit off. And, hey, it happens. It is what it is.
Yeah. Now, this neck injury, the way you described it, that was a different feeling than your prior neck injury.
Yeah. Right? The prior one, I just felt a pop. And then I started getting, like, kind of shooting pains in my arm. And at first I thought I was having a heart attack. I was just like, oh, my gosh, is this how I die? This is crazy. But then, like, that kind of pain subsided. But then I started losing all... my strength in my arm. So, like, I picked up, I was in, like, an IHOP or something like that, and I picked up a mug, and I couldn't hold it, and I just dropped it, and it just, like, it smashed, obviously, but I had no strength in my arm, so I was just like, I need to go see a doctor. And at first, like, they didn't believe me. They just thought I wanted time off, and I was like, no, for real, like, something's going on. So they were like, all right, we'll set up an MRI and stuff for you. They saw my neck was, you know, not in the best condition. So they were like, okay, we think the best thing to do is have a surgery and you have some time out, you know, and go from there. I didn't realize how long I would have off. It was kind of a spiral, you guys, after that point. Coming back and only being back for a couple of months to then get my career ended again. It was a little disappointing.
Like, do you remember what kind of path Absolution, let's talk about Absolution for a minute.
You came
out with Sonya Deville and Mandy Rose. That was their main roster debut. Talk to me about the creation of that group. Like, whose idea was it? Whose choice was it for those particular ladies to be with you? Like, what was and like what the plans might have been?
So it was actually like we had all these girls come up on Raw. So we had Liv, we had Ruby, Sarah, Mandy, and Sonya. So they were like, okay, Paige is going to make her debut today, but who are we going to put her with at first? So they didn't know who, if I was going to be, say, with Liv or Sarah or Ruby and Sarah or just these two girls. So they didn't know. And then in the end, they were like, okay, we're going to go with Mandy and Sonya, you know, because we went through Tough Enough together and all that kind of fun stuff. And I was thankful because, again, like, it full circle. You know, I was judging them and now they're working with me. It was super fun. You can tell that they were extremely nervous, which, of course, when you're making your debut in WWE, you're going out in front of, like, 10,000 people and, like, millions of people are watching you around the world, so it's the most intimidating experience of your life. But it felt good to have them by my side because I was already anxious coming back after being out for a year and a half and all this crazy shit happened, and then I'm just like, hey, you guys, I'm back again. So about that thing that happened... Here's Mandy and Sonya, distraction, you know. But it was Vince's idea.
Yeah,
it was Vince's idea, and it was Vince's idea for Absolution because, you know, Absolution is to rid you of your sins, which is perfect for me. So I was like, perfect, let's do this thing.
it felt, am I correct in saying it felt like it was a heel group, the Absolution?
Yeah.
Because I felt that was kind of a interesting pivot to me, because you had just come back, you know, from the neck injury, all that time off, and like I said, fans wanted to see you. You show up, big old pop, and surprise, I'm a heel now. And it's one of those things, like, was the plan to, like, always come back as a heel, or was the plan to eventually turn baby again? Like, what were you thinking about that? How are you feeling coming back? Like, hey, I'm back from injury, but now you gotta boo me.
I love being heel, because just in life, it's easier for people to hate you than like you, if you've noticed just on social media, right?
Yep.
People just hate you for no reason. Like, I could literally breathe a certain way, and a Stan account would be like, fuck you, you know what I mean? You're just like, what did I do? You know, like, it's crazy. So being a character, it's so hard to get wrestling fans to get behind you as a babyface because you don't know who we are. But it's easier for us to, like, talk crap to you because it makes you feel something. You're like, well, I feel anger towards you, so now I'm going to boo you. So it's easier to get reactions. So being a heel was, like, easy for me to do because it's just like, oh, all I have to do is talk some crap and people will just be like, boo. And I'm like, yes, thank you. That's what I want.
No, yeah, no, being a heel is definitely a lot easier.
A lot easier. It's a lot. When I first came up to the main roster, like, it was cool the first day because obviously with WrestleMania, fans from all over the world come, right? So it's people from Europe, just like everywhere. And so, like, people from Europe kind of knew who I was just from NXT being put on the WWE Network for $9.99, you know? I hate it, I'm fucking commercial, so. Everyone did. But, yeah, so everyone kind of, like, cheered me when I made my debut, being like, this is awesome, like, this is great, because people knew who, they're familiar with me. But then, when they all left, and it came to SmackDown, which was on the Friday, it was like crickets coming out, because America didn't know who I was. So I'm just like, I just try to make... And it's hard, because you're a babyface, and Vince is like, you're a babyface, you need to smile. And I'm like, I need to smile? I'm like all in black, you know? I'm just like... Yeah. Like, I just, like, I was like, people have to try and get behind me. I'm like this pale goth chick, you know?
Yeah.
Not, people aren't used to seeing girls like me up there. So, yeah, I wish I got brought up as a heel. That's the only thing.
Do you find, like, interacting, you know, obviously with wrestlers and stuff coming up, was that kind of the general thing where people were like, I wish I were heel just because it'd be easier than to be have a hard time being a baby face?
Yeah.
Like you said, it's just like, it's such a hard effort to get people, you can only do, come on!
Yeah,
so
you clap and everyone's just like,
before,
all right,
you know,
sit down.
Get bored of it,
you know.
So.
Yeah. Yeah, it gets, it's kind of boring being a babyface too. I feel like you can do so much more as a heel. Babyface, a lot of the time, it's just you clapping and cheering and being like, yeah, like, please come for me, you know.
Yeah. No, it's definitely a struggle for sure, but I'm glad, you know, it's like, so, you know, with Absolution, though, the plan was to be the heel stable.
Yeah.
I mean, well, were there long-term plans beyond that? Like, do you know of any kind of like, creative or anything that was pitched to you where it's like, oh.
Like when I first got up on the road or just in general?
Like just in this point, we're going to talk about the return. Yeah.
So you don't know what you're doing in WWE. They can have ideas for you and it can change on a whim. So, for example, I had to do... I don't know if everyone's familiar with the poem I had to do for AJ Lee. Rose the red, wood chips are beige. I'm sorry, I pushed you off the stage, right? I remember it to this day because I'm traumatized, right? So he was like, the promos change all the time, all the time. But Vince was like, I want you to read this card. You already know where I'm going with this. I need you to take this card out. I need you to read it to her for Valentine's Day. And I was like, you got it. But I was like, in my head, I was like, I'm going to memorize this. Because God forbid he takes this card away from me, right? So we're spending all day, and I'm going over it in my head, thinking about it, and I'm just like, make sure I have it, just in case. Then as I'm about to walk out, Vince stands up, and he was like, Paige! And I'm like, what? He was just like, give me that card, you don't need it. And I was like, oh, no. And I was like, do I have it? But luckily, I went out there, and I memorized it. So you never know what they're doing from a day-to-day basis, because you'll go there, and you'll know what you're doing as well. And then they have like three or four different meetings. And then by the time the show starts, you still don't know what you're doing. So you're just like, so what's going on? You know, they're like, no, you're going to do this, this, this. Especially as GM, I had to do like live promos and then backstage and then pre-tapes. And you're just like, so what am I doing right now? You know, it was hectic, but it was fun.
Right. Before we go further into that part of the career, I do want to take a step back and talk a little bit about, you know, your upbringing, the fact you started wrestling so young.
Yeah.
Let me ask you this. First of all, when were you smartened up to the business, I would say?
Like, oh, man. I was I was still believing wrestling was real, god damn it. When I would say like 9 or something like that. I was at this place in Norwich called the Corn Exchange where like my dad would throw a show at like this farm area. There was like cows in the back. It was crazy. But my dad would get in the ring and I'd be so upset. I'd be crying and screaming because the guy that is like, he's wrestling is like beating him up and I'd be trying to get into the ring and stuff like that. So I wasn't so smart that it took me a while to figure it out. You know what I mean? But I mean, I started getting in the ring at a young age anyway, like rolling around and doing stuff because they would be holding training schools and all that kind of fun stuff. But I didn't have my match until I was 13. Yeah. Well, I always say I was bumping as a fetus too. Thanks for Robbie Brooks' side. he gorilla pressed me onto the outside, onto my dad. My dad caught me, but he gorilla pressed my mom while she was 7 months pregnant. She didn't realize.
Yeah.
She just was one of those people that just randomly didn't show at 7 months. It's crazy. And I took my first bump then. So.
Wow.
I had my first match at 13 because my dad was short on a girl one day and was just like, Rhea, you should get in there. And I was just like, oh my gosh. And so like I had like these like sweats that I had and I was like, all right, I can try and get in the ring. And then I got knocked out first match. I was just like on my back and I just remember my leg just being like flailing in the air because I was in a pin and I was just like, I love it. Let's do it again.
Right. That's how it works. You know, you take that first bump or whatever and either you're hooked or you walk away forever.
Oh, the adrenaline rush you get from the 3 people that were in the audience that day. I mean, I was having a whale of a time.
Something that fascinates me when I talk to UK wrestlers and fans is just like how young kids start training to wrestle.
Yeah.
Like, here in America, most schools will say you got to be 18 or whatever. It'd be, you know, 16 with a parent's note. Nah, like I've had kids tell me, like, oh, I start wrestling when I'm 9 or 10 years old, and you'll be what? Like your skeleton hasn't finished fusing together yet. How does it even work?
Like, I blame my parents for my scoliosis. I swear. I'm like, I wasn't born with this. You can't tell me. Yeah.
So like, what is? I mean, is there a cultural thing about that? Because like you know, the difference in America and the UK when they train to wrestle. Like, what is? Is there like a particular reason to allow that, or like what's the rationale?
I just feel like England doesn't care as much as America does. There's some training schools that you have to be, you know, 18, but they have like a kids club where they don't do anything that's too extensive in the kids club, of course. But there's kids that love wrestling and want to, you know, feel like a wrestler, you know. So my parents hold those kids academies. And they have a great time. Again, nothing too crazy like what I used to do
like
as a kid.
Lockups and tumbles, basically.
Yeah, exactly. No crazy bumps, you know. Like when they bump, they kind of just like fall down like gracefully, you know. Like, and they have like a whole kids show too. Like they put on little kids wrestling shows, and all their parents and families come along and watch them. I'm like, it's great, and it's packed. Everyone just loves it.
That's amazing. Yeah. One other thing that I think is very unique about the UK scene for a time. I don't know if they're still doing this, but you might have seen these pictures floating around on the internet, these WWF tribute shows where it's UK wrestlers who are like, this guy's Kane, this guy's Stone Cold.
My dad was Animal from Legion of Doom.
I was going to ask you about that. I heard your dad was involved in these
shows. Yeah, so my mom made him the shoulder pads, so she got like we call it American football. I know it's just normal football over here, but the shoulder pads. And then she like made these foam, what are they called?
Spikes.
Yeah. That's the word. And it looked great. Like, and then he had a friend, you know, that would play the tag partner and everything. And like people believed that they were real. My dad looked just like Animal. It was crazy. He looked just like him. And he terrified me too. And then there was another person that played the Undertaker. It was not good. I was like, okay,
Brian
buddy.
Lee.
Yeah, I was like, from Wish. It was crazy. I was just like, all right, yeah, sure, buddy. But there was a lot of people. I think someone pretended to be Hulk Hogan at one point. They like shaved a crescent in their head. It was a whole thing. I was just, even as a kid, I was just like, you're not fooling anybody, all right? But my dad could have fooled me. He did such a good job.
That's amazing. Yeah, because the demand for like that American style wrestling at the time was so, like, it was so rich, and there wasn't enough of it coming into Europe and the UK, so that kind of like necessitated that. It's like I'm trying to think of what the equivalent is for that here, because like if you want
it's like cosplay, really, isn't it?
It kind of is. Like if you want a New Japan show in America, they bring you New Japan to America. You know, it's, I think it's, you don't see somebody like dressing up like Kushida,
right? Well, in
wrestle
in England, like at one point, wrestling kind of was filtering out. Like it went from World of Sport, which was like, you know, Fit Finlay was there back then, William Regal, and my dad used to wrestle with them and everything, and Giant Haystacks, you know, Big Daddy, like all those kind of, and then it kind of fizzled out and people really only focused on American wrestling. So that's why they made all the posters American wrestling, and then they would have some British people on the show, but there'd be a lot more people dressed up like American wrestlers to get more, to attract more people to come in. Mm-hmm. But then, obviously now it's like way bigger. Like wrestling is just a whole circus now, isn't it?
Yeah, but do you still get a lot of like fans in the UK who are like, or older former fans who are, it's like, I grew up watching Big Daddy and all that stuff.
Oh,
like,
yeah, 1,000%.
I don't follow the new stuff, but I sure like that Giant.
I hate people that are just like, they're just like, oh, I don't watch it now, but I heard that Roman Reigns is really good. So I'm like, so you do watch it. Why are you pretending like you don't? Like, it's okay to like wrestling. Wrestling's cool.
Exactly. Yeah. Wrestling's cool no matter what era or country. Yeah. Let's talk about, you know, you started wrestling at age 13. By the time you're 18, you're already kind of world traveled because you were working Shimmer too around that time, correct, with your mother.
Well, I actually started Shimmer.
Woo! Shimmer fan.
Yeah.
Who else here likes Shimmer? Anyone?
Does anyone know what Shimmer is?
All right. Yeah.
It's an all-female company based in Chicago at the Bowen Eagles Club. But yeah, I started traveling by myself at 14 because I was like, as soon as I jumped in the ring, I was like, I want to be a WWE diva. That's all I wanted to be, right? And so I started sending out resumes like that to like different wrestling companies. I didn't know how it worked, but I was like, I was trying to get out there, you know. And I remember this company called Irish Whip Wrestling didn't want to accept me because I was a girl. I was just like, you'll see. You'll see. I'll make it one day, you know. And now I can laugh at them like, where are you now, motherfucker? You know?
Yeah, Irish Whip. How about it?
Yeah. Sorry for cussing, Meech. He's trying to turn me down, you know what I mean? Yeah, and so like I sent out all these resumes, and then I finally got my first abroad show in Norway for Norwegian Wrestling Federation, and then it just kind of like, once I had that down, I was like, well, I've worked for Norway, and you know, and then they started adding and adding, and then they took me and my mom over to Shimmer before I got signed, and that's where I met Jesse McKay, Billy Kay in WWE. I love her.
You gotta be joking me.
You gotta be joking me. Yeah. We say that in England too. We have very similar like phrases and lingo and stuff like that. But people are like, that doesn't even make sense over here, and I'm like, it does over there, right?
Dry humor. You wouldn't
dry. It's so stupid.
But yeah, so by 18, you get signed to WWE. Yeah. So that developmental system, you're heading over there. It was, you know, you're a fresh-faced 18-year-old traveling, you know, alone, moving to America, lifting yourself from everything you've known in England. That has to be one of the most difficult transitions at that time in your life, I can imagine.
Oh yeah, the thing with WWE is that you get signed. And then you're on your own, right? So they sign you, they get your visa, and then once you go, it's changed now, I believe, because like now they get people hotels and stuff like that. But it was like FCW back then, you know, it was like a dusty hall and stuff like that. And I was like, this is WWE, and it still was like, blew me away. I just expected like an NXT, you know. So when I come over here, I was really scared. I didn't really know many people. Luckily, I knew this woman called Lexi Fife who run Shine and Shimmer and stuff like that. So she was like, you can stay with me for 2 weeks and we'll get you your social security. And then she was like, talk about renter's insurance. I'm like, what is renter's insurance? And like, she's like telling me all these things. And I'm just like, how, like, where do I go for all this stuff? And I didn't have much money either. Like, I saved up £200. That I brought over that was from my birthday. And I was like, all right, that should be enough, right? And then she was like, oh, no, we need to go get you furniture. We need to, like, you know, get you this apartment. We need to do all these things. So luckily I had a friend called Steve in England, and he sent me, like, $1,000. And, like, I remember I managed to get, like, one couch and then, like an outside, like, table, like a dusty table. Yeah, and like a blow up bed. And I was just like, I'm good. And the first thing I did was went and got a dog, which I thought was a stupid idea. Now I think about it. 18, getting a dog, like barely buy my own food, but decided, you know, I was going to buy the dog everything it wanted.
Like doing all the adult things. Like you're
getting
your own
place. Yeah, I was like, I need a dog now. I don't have any friends. Like I just didn't know anybody. And so it was just really scary and intimidating, and I remember just having a complete panic attack and breakdown, and I was like, I don't think I could do this, like, because, like, no one really talked to me when I went to FCW, too, like, it was like, everyone was very close, again, it was really small back then, and so, like, and the girls were, like, it was way smaller, it was, like, me and, like, four other girls there, And like they were in like this little kind of clique at the time too. And they, I ended up becoming really good friends with them, but they just said that they didn't like me at first because I had previous wrestling experience and that was like intimidating, I guess, for them. But I was like, yeah, but I could help with whatever you needed to, you know. So we ended up becoming like really good friends, but like the first initial couple of weeks to months was like a really tough experience for me when I first moved over here. So
God, yeah, that's gotta be tough. And it's so ironic that, you know, you had like your own anxieties just about existing there.
Existing.
Other colleagues were intimidated by you and anxious because of your experience.
And, like, yeah. And I look different too. That's the only thing is like when I got signed because I look different, right? So when I went into the locker room and they saw me for the first time and I had like my emo comb over, you know, my lip ring and just like my Sharpie eyebrows on, and they're just like, oh, I was super pale too. They're just like, what in the sunlight is walking in here right now, you know? And they were just like, this is different. Like, this is, so it's like, it's weird for them because they were just like, oh, she's probably just going to get a push or, you know, something like that. But no, I had to wait down there for 2 years. Everyone got to go up before me.
Exactly. Yeah. What do you think was, when you were getting ready to leave and go to America, what do you think was the best advice that you got from your parents or other friends or colleagues in wrestling, like in the UK? What kind of words of wisdom did they impart you with?
My dad just said, don't fuck up, right? They don't really have much. And then my...
Yeah, it's a pure dad line, by the way. Yeah, exactly.
I know. he's a very tough guy, right, you guys? You have to understand how tough he is. I got hit by a car and he made me wrestle the same day. He was like, can you wiggle your toes? I was like, yeah. He was like, all right, let's go. He's got some spare crutches in the back because of all the injuries from wrestling, right? So he was just like, he gave me a pair of crutches and I had to just go. And then I think it was Boxing Day, which is a day after Christmas in England. We had to wrestle on this holiday camp and I had broken my scaphoid bone in my wrist. And my dad just gave me a flint. It was like, don't worry, sweetheart. You don't have to take the ring down today. And I'm like, thanks, father. You know, like he's such a tough.
What a magnanimous father he is. Yeah. Oh, don't worry.
He's a great dad, but he made me tough for sure. Because like whenever there was like minor injuries, I was like, no, I'm fine. I.e. my neck, you know, like, oh no, I'm good. This is fine. But I remember I tried to call him 3 months in and I was like really sad because I didn't have any, like no one was really speaking to me. And I just felt like really alone and I was very lonely and it's a lonely experience, you know, and I'm 18 years old in this country and, you know, didn't even have any friends outside of it because I couldn't drive or go anywhere because I was under the legal limit to even like go places, you know. And so, I remember crying. I was like, I don't think I could do this. And he was just like, will you shut the fuck up? He was just like, this is a dream, right? He was just like, you're there for a reason. He said, so don't call me again unless you're not crying. And I was just like, oh my God. He was like, save your tears for your pillow, right? Aww. So I was like, yeah. And my mom's like, oh, you leave her alone. She can come home if she wants to. And he was just like, you're an enabler, like that, you know. But look, without my dad, I probably wouldn't have made it this far because he was the one who was constantly pushing me to you know, do things and take the leap.
Right. And by the way, getting hit with a car and then wrestling a match that same day, that's going to be Cody Rhodes' next stunt.
Probably. I mean, he grew up in a wrestling family too. It wouldn't surprise me.
I totally lost my train of thought here. But yeah, so...
No, you're good. Don't worry about it.
Live TV.
We got him flustered.
We made it this
finally.
Far. We made it this far.
Right, guys? Got him.
What were some of the... Thank
yeah.
you.
Boo! No, don't clap him. Boo him. He's fucking up right now.
I really want to get my Cody
Boo!
Joke in, and then I got totally derailed.
Heel!
Thank you. Just kidding. Back in the elevator.
Let's make it worse for him right now.
That had to be hard for your parents. They had to be conflicted, and you as well, because like you're following your dream. You're doing the thing you're passionate about, but at the same time, you are that far away from your family.
Like, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's really hard for them.
Oh, yeah. My dad is like, his Facebook is like a shrine to me. I'm like, I'm not dead, but he like has, he's like father of Paige WWE, like as his bio, you know, it's really cute. And like a picture of me and him, I'm like, I'm definitely the favorite child. Sorry to my brothers and sisters.
Now, when you got there to FCW or when you got signed, was there any indication of like, hey, like, 6 years from now, there's going to be this women's revolution, and you're going to be part of it, that sort of thing.
Well,
like, we're really going to try and invest our time in improving women's wrestling. Did you get any that kind of indication when you were there, like early on?
Well, I had that indication. I don't know if you guys saw the original documentary, Fighting With My Family, before the movie.
Yeah.
But in there, there was a scene from the bathroom in my first apartment, and I said, I just want to change the way people view women's wrestling. I want to not be a party break. You know, I want people to take us seriously. And I was just like, I'm not going to stop until, you know, we essentially do that. So I always had that in my head. And then, like, being there, like, we still had to do, like, these bikini contests, which was so cringy and awful. Like, there's, like, kids, like, as young as these two in the crowd, right? And they're all in the front row, like, and it's just, like, there's about 20 people and, like, friggin' 17 of them are, like, children or something like that. And I had to, like, take off my shirt and be in a bikini. I'm like, this is so weird. I'm like, why are we doing this?
And you're barely older than the kids who are watching.
Right. Like, I'm like, yeah, I'm not even adult. 21. Yeah. and so in the end, I was just like, speaking to the girls. I was like, we shouldn't be doing this. I didn't come here to be in a bikini. I came here to wrestle, right? So we ended up, like, you know, talking to, I believe it was Dr. Tom at the time. And he was just like, yeah, we can scrap it. He was, like, really cool about that. He was like, yeah, we don't have to do those anymore. Like, it was just, like, it was easy work, but that's not the work that I came here for. So then Dr. Tom ended up letting us do, like, Money in the Bank matches and, like, German suplexes from the second rope and stuff like that. He was awesome. Just and then that changed when Bill DeMott came. Yeah.
Yeah, turn the intensity up for bikini contest to, you know, German suplexes.
Dr. Tom was just like, if you can do it safely, you can do it. Mm-hmm. Absolutely. He was just like, he gave us a chance down there, right? And then Bill DeMott kind of took over and was just like, you need to wear color. And I'm just like, shut the fuck up. I don't need to do shit for you, all right? But I remember I told this story just earlier about how he was constantly just like, you need to wear color. You need to be more like a diva. And I'm just like, that's not why I'm signed. Like, I'm signed because of the way I look, right? And I remember one day he was like, okay, we're all going to Raw today. So everyone make sure you dress accordingly. He was like, Paige, dress like a diva. And I was just like, all right. So I bought this blue dress, right? Just looked awful on me, just awful. But I was like, I feel like a diva today. All right. So I put this blue dress on. And he was constantly just like, you need to be more like Summer Rae. This is what diva is. This is what they want. And I was just like, all right. So as much as I love Summer, she just wasn't me. She wasn't me. I wasn't her. Like, and so we were there at the show, and I was just like, okay, I made an effort. I'm a diva or whatever. We get back the next day. He was just like, I just want to give a special mention to someone that really showed up and dressed like a diva. And I was waiting for my name to be announced, right? But he was just like, and Summer Rae, good job. And I was just like, I was so disappointed. And I was like, as much as, like, you know, Summer is, she's beautiful. She was the diva. But I was just like, why am I trying to be like her? Why are you telling me to be like her? Like, this is so disappointing. And so I just, like, that's the last time I ever tried to put on a colorful dress, and was just like, the only time I put on color was because Vince said, I want you in purple. And that changed pretty quickly, too.
Because I was going to say, yeah, the blonde hair scene in the movie, is that,
yeah,
that really happened, or is it an exaggeration of the blue dress, for instance?
Yeah, no. So the blonde did happen. So my first tryout, I had two tryouts. My first tryout, I thought I had to be a diva. So I went there with light hair, and I got a spray tan. I took my piercings out. I looked ridiculous, and I didn't feel comfortable. And you can tell that I didn't feel comfortable. And so I did this match, and I end up, like, busting this girl's nose. Her name was Lisa Fury. She's bleeding everywhere. And, like, the training back, like, the tryouts back then was, we were all in the ring at, like, a SmackDown, and then you had, like, Randy Orton, Edge, Big Show, like, all these big names, John Cena, all of them just around the ring, just watching, not saying a word, just watching. You're just like, oh my God, like, I'm having, like, a right. meltdown right now. Like, all these people that I look up to are just, like, watching. And I mean, later on, I was in their position and was watching in. So I'm like, now I know what you guys talk about. but they were still super supportive, though, yeah. You know. And so, like, it was just really intimidating. And then Johnny brought me into the office, and he was like, you know, we're not going to sign you this time. You just don't diva material, right? He was like, maybe in a few months, you know, we can bring you back or whatever, you know. And so I was just like, all right. Sounds good. So I'm like, next time I go back, I'm just going to be myself. Fuck it. Like, if they don't want me as me, I'm not going to try and conform, right? And so I went back, and I was wearing my black. I was wearing my piercings and stuff like that. And Jamie Noble and Goldust were running these tryouts. And I was the only girl. There was all these guys in there and my brother. And I was in with my brother at the start. And then, like, the thing is, you tag in and out, right? So we're tagging in and out. And then Jamie Noble comes up to me in the corner. He was just like, tag yourself in. And I was just like, oh no. I was like, this is like, I'm going to get some major heat right now because all these guys are here. They want to showcase what they can do. They want to potentially get signed by WWE. And they have this tiny girl coming in and being like, my time, bitch, you know.
Going to business for yourself.
Exactly. Going into business for yourself. And I'm just like, oh no. And I was just like, you know what? I'm just going to have to do it because Jamie Noble's like telling me to, you know, he's like, tag yourself in. And I'm like, okay. Right. So I tagged myself in on the biggest guy in there, by the way. He was just jacked out of his mind. And I was just like, and he looked at me like complete dog shit. He was just like, what the fuck? And I was just like, I am so sorry. And then I just like came in. And then, it was me and Zach and we were wrestling for a really long time. And they didn't want us to tag out. So everyone around the ring was just looking at us like, are you fucking serious? Like, they were mad at us. But I'm just like, I can't do it. They're telling me to stay in. I'm not going to say no, you know, to Goldust and Jamie Noble. And so we did it. We finished with the match. And then Goldust afterwards was awesome. He was just like, hey, like, let me teach you a few things. And I'm like, oh, my God, I can't believe Goldust is talking to me right now. This is crazy. And so, like, he was teaching me, like, different ways to, like, be in, like, a headlock and, like, pinning, like, and all that kind of stuff. And he was just like, it's just these little things you need to clean up. And I was like, awesome. So then I get taken into the office, and then they're just like, all right, we're going to sign you. And I was like, oh, my fucking God. And I, like, start losing it. I'm like, are you shitting me? And, like, cussing and everything like that. You know, I'm like, I'm so sorry. I'm from England. We do this. I'm so sorry, you know. And they were just like, no worries. Calm down, you know, like, yeah. And they weren't going to sign anyone else there, so I had my brother there who was very disappointed. But the one thing I can take away from it, though, is, like, I was standing, like, say this is the stage, and I was standing beside it just watching everyone go through their matches and stuff. And then Hunter comes walking past me, and then he, like, stops, and I'm like, oh, my God, it's Triple H. Like, don't make eye contact or something, you know what I mean? And then he, like, stops and turns to me, and he was like, welcome aboard, like that. And I was like, oh, my God, did you see that? My mom's there. I was like, Triple H just shook my hand, you know.
Did he give you the point, the picture point?
No, we didn't take a picture then.
That wasn't a thing then.
No, we just shook my hand, and then he went about his business and stuff like that. But I was just like, oh, my God, like, I'm actually signed. This is crazy.
That's so cool. Yeah. And now talk about some of the trainers you had. You mentioned Bill DeMott, mentioned Dr. Tom. Talk about Dusty Rhodes. You know,
I love Dusty.
He clearly had a big Dusty's influence on you. Like, what were some of the... I don't know, some of, like, the biggest things that he taught you, just, like...
To be myself.
Yeah, it's wrestling, life, like, anything, you know, old habits he helped you break, like, you know.
Be myself. He would say about Bill DeMott, he was like, fuck that motherfucker. He was like, you be yourself, baby. And he would, like, there'd be cameras, and he'd be like, fuck you, motherfucker. He's like, I don't give a fuck. He's just constantly cussing. I'm so sorry. Okay. But this is a Dusty impression. I need to fully commit, right?
Authentic, yeah.
So when I first got there, so he would do this thing where he would just make people go up randomly to do promos without having any plan for them whatsoever. I remember this one promo, it was like sitting like this. He was like, all right, baby, get up there. And I'm like, and do what, you know? And he's just like, all right. And then he looks at Roman, who was Liaki back then. He was like, Liaki, baby, get up there. And I'm like, oh my God, like, this is so scary. And then he was just like, all right, Roman, like, Liaki, you don't say anything. He's like, I was Saraya then. I wasn't Paige yet, but he was like, Saraya. He was just like, he broke up with you and stole your toaster, go. And I was like, okay. Like, I'm so scared. So I was like, all right. So I did this promo and I was like absolutely mortified. He was like, all right, Lyrica, baby, get off there. He was like, all right, pretend you have a letter. And I was like, oh God, okay. And like, everyone's watching me. And not just anyone. When I was there, it was Seth Rollins, Bray Wyatt, Dean Ambrose, Roman, like just everyone that you see just absolutely flourishing on the main roster was literally right in front of me. It was crazy. And so he was like, okay, so you're, some reason he liked me being broken up with, just say. But he was just like, all right, I need you to give me every range of emotion. He was like, I want to see you happy, sad, mad, you know, like, yeah, whatever. And so I had to pretend to read this letter without saying a word and just go through different range of emotion with my face. And it was the first time I'd ever done something like that. And I was just like absolutely terrified. And he was just like, you can get off the stage. He didn't even say anything. He's like, you can get off the stage. And then he got into this thing with me where he was like, I need you to be mysterious. You're my mysterious raven-haired lady, right? And I was like, all right. So he was like, I want you to say nothing but a lot. And I'm like, how do I do that?
Yeah,
and
he was just like, Wizard's riddle is this?
I know. I was just like, all right, Riddler, like, what are we doing here? You know? And he was just like, I just want it to be mysterious. So after a while, I kind of just got frustrated with doing like the kind of this like the same thing. And so I did this promo, and then I stopped it, and I knew it wasn't good, but everyone's just watching me like you guys are. And he was just like, I asked you for chicken dinner and you give me chicken shit like that. And I was like, fuck you, motherfucker. And I leave and I run up to like this is in NXT. So I run up to like, you know, the girls' locker room. And then like within 2 minutes, he come up there and he knocked on the door and he was like, is my porcelain princess in there? And I was just like, hi, Dusty. I was like, I'm really sorry. He was like, first of all, nobody calls me a motherfucker. Like, I'm so sorry. And he just said that he wants the best for me and that I should always give 110% with whatever I'm doing. And yeah, he just knew that I was like his broken toy. You know, he's like, I know you can be successful. You just need to be put together a little bit and shined up and you're ready to go. So he wanted the best for me. He would just had to give me that tough love sometimes, which I really appreciate.
I figure if you survive a Dusty Rhodes promo drill, you can kind of survive anything. That's like the ultimate improv exercise.
Renee, I was just talking to Renee about this. I saw her earlier, and she was like, oh, man, Dusty used to do the same to me. He used to make me go up there, and I'm just like, what is it? But it makes us better at promos because, again, WWE changes promo on the fly, and you have to be ready at all times. And I didn't understand back then. I just thought he was just trolling me, you know. I was just like, is this hazing? Like, am I being hazed?
But yeah, it sounds like it's not only for range, but also preparedness, thinking on your feet, because if you're cutting a promo and somebody says something that throws you off your game, you got to be able to recover from that.
Exactly.
So yeah, that seems like the perfect kind of exercise, honestly.
Yeah.
Let's jump ahead a little bit. Let's talk about July 2013. You're 21 years old, and you make it all the way to the finals of the tournament to crown the inaugural NXT Women's Champion.
I was 20.
I'm sorry. You're 20. Talk to me first about the language of that, the name of the championship, because the main roster is the Divas Championship, but
this is the Women's Championship.
The Women's Championship. So, what did you think about that language change?
I mean, I liked it. I never had an issue with Diva, if I'm being honest, because when I was growing up, Diva meant WWE, which meant like the pinnacle of your career, you know. Like, so I never really had an issue with it. It did feel good to have a little switch up because then it kind of separated us from the main roster. So I like that, and it's a brand new championship, you know. But I wasn't actually supposed to wrestle that day. So I just had a surgery a few weeks before. I had a dermoisis, which is super gross, by the way, you guys. There's a thing that a female can be born with on their ovaries. Sorry. And it's a cyst that gets teeth and hair in it. It's freaking gross, right? Yeah, a lot of men are just like, what the fuck? Why are you telling us that detail? But you just need to understand the extent of what was on my ovary, right? I had like a little demon child on my ovary. And they had to, and the only reason I found out that I had it was because when I was in training in like at the gym, my trainer was like, do you have scoliosis? I was like, I don't know. I actually don't know. And so I went to go get an x-ray and they saw like a mass and it was scary. But then they were like, oh no, don't worry. It's just a dermoid cyst with like hair and shit in it. And I was like, oh, no big deal then. What? Anyway, they cut me open, took it out. And like I had to have a couple of weeks just in bed, right? And so at first they were planning to give it to Chul Guerrero. But she had a neck injury and so she was like taken out. And so then I think it was like maybe Ivelisse, and then she ended up getting released. And then it was just like me and Emma. And then I didn't even know if I was even going to get cleared in time for the rest of the match. So the day the match came and Hunter was just like, all right, let's see you roll around the ring real quick. Make sure that you're okay. So I started rolling around the ring, taking bumps, doing all these things. The doctors were like, all right, she's cleared. I'm like, oh, thank God. Like the day of the show. Cause this was like scary because it was the, you know, the network again. And it was the first ever female match that's going to be on that people on the network are going to see was going to be mine and Emma's mugs, you know. And so we're just like, this is a lot of pressure. And then we didn't know who was going to win until like right before we were walking out because they were like, okay, do two finishes and we'll figure it out because they just didn't want it to leak anywhere. So they were just like, we just don't want to tell anybody. So then I got told it was me and I was just like, oh, shit, like this is crazy. Like it's such a big deal, yeah. And so we ended up going out there and doing the match and Hunter let us do a double suplex off the top rope, which back then, for everyone who was watching, it wasn't too long ago, but women couldn't do that back then, right? We had to be more girly. So the fact that we got to do a double suplex off the top rope was like mind blowing for the NXT crowd. So then we started getting Alyssa's awesome chant, which again was not heard of in a girls wrestling match. And so like, we were just like, oh my God, and we're just like, are we making it right now? Are we doing a good job, sis? Like, what's going on? You know, but yeah, it was like, it was really cool and overwhelming. And just, I'm just so thankful that we got that opportunity. And my body let me do it. It's always my body letting me down, huh? I'm just like, get it together, Tin Man.
Yeah. So, and how did it feel to like be like, to make that history and to be the person kind of leading that lineage of the NXT Women's title?
Yeah, it was really cool. It's really cool. And I couldn't be more proud of Mandy, by the way. She's, if you're watching it right now, she's absolutely killing it. So it's really good to see her, you know, doing her thing and having her championship. But yeah, it was really cool to make history, first of all. Like, especially because I never thought I'd get to WWE. So like being able to make history as the first ever NXT Women's Champion was such a big deal. And I will also say I never lost it. JBL just took it away from me, all
right? That's right, that's right.
My reign is still going.
Is it linear or lineal champion? Is it linear champion or lineal champion?
I'm a wrestler. I don't know anything like that.
Thank you. Linear champion. Yes, you're still the linear NXT Women's Champion. They can't take that away from you.
Exactly.
So let's fast forward. So you are the champion. You're doing the anti-diva thing. And then Raw after WrestleMania 30, people know where this is going. You make your debut on the main roster.
You're still crazy.
NXT champion. Yeah. You challenge AJ Lee. You beat her, and you become the youngest Divas champion of all time.
And I tell this story all the time, so some of you have probably already heard it, but Dwayne's the one who told me the day before, right? Mm-hmm. Is anyone familiar with that story or no?
That blows my mind, because when I watched Fighting With My Family, and I saw that scene in the movie where The Rock tells you this, I'm like, this looks like Hollywood bullshit.
This is how it really went, right?
The Rock told you.
No,
this.
He did. And it was bizarro. So this is how it really went. So I was in catering, right? And me and Bailey and Emma were just so happy to be there. So we just took a picture out in the arena, you know. And I think that, wasn't that the one where Brock ended the Undertaker streak?
Yes.
I just felt the energy in that arena. We were all disappointed, right? But it was good at the same time. Anyway. I was sitting back there and I was eating. I was talking to Dean Malenko. Love me some Dean Malenko. But I get a text on my phone. It was just like, hey, it's DJ. I would love to talk to you at some point today if you're available, right? And I'm like, who the fuck is DJ? And why is he texting my phone? So I asked Dean. I was just like, do you know who this DJ is? And he was just like, you mean Dwayne Johnson, you fucking idiot? And I was like, The Rock is texting me? I was like, oh my gosh, The Rock is texting me, right? So I was just like absolutely blown away. So I was just like trying to act cool. I'm like, yeah, no big deal. I'm right here whenever you need me. No worries. And then like within like minutes, like his manager or someone came and he was just like, hey, I'm going to take you to go see Dwayne real quick. And I was just like, you got it, dude. And I was just like, holy crap. Like, I'm like, what does he need? Like, what does he want? Like, what's the deal? So I walk in there and I'm just like, ah, you're the giant man. And he's just like, hey, I'm DJ. And I'm like, I know, dude. Like, I know who you are. But I'm like, I'm Saraya. Like, nice to meet you. And then he was just like, hey, so I watched your documentary in England. This is how it went, first of all. He was like, I watched your documentary. He was like, I was filming Fast and Furious and couldn't sleep one day. And I just stumbled across your documentary. And I was like, well, thank God for insomnia, huh? And he was like, I just love it. I just feel like it was like very close to how my family is. I love how you guys were like, you know, super close knit and stuff like that. So I'm going to make a movie on it. And I just like looked at him like, what? Like... And I was like in just pure shock. He was like, yeah, I'm going to make a movie on it if you're cool with it. And he was like, at first, he was like, just a small indie movie, you know, didn't turn out that way. But I was just like, I started bawling my eyes out. And I'm just like, oh my God, thank you so much. I'm like, are you serious? And he was just like, yeah. Like, I just look crazy. And then he was like, hey, that's not it though. I was just in the writer's room. He was like, and you're going to win the Divas Championship tomorrow. And I'm like, what? And I was just like, crying even more. I got eyelashes on my forehead. He was passing me tissues. He was just like, just like, are you good?
I'm
just
at this like, point, do you feel like you're being punked? Like, this feels like,
dude, it's surreal. I'm just like,
true.
I'm like, this is a moment you'll never forget. Like, Dwayne The Rock Johnson is telling me, not only is he going to make a movie on my life, but also I'm going to be debuting tomorrow and finally, you know, getting that dream championship that you've been dreaming about since you were a kid. So, yeah, but he was like, but no one knows, so you can't tell anyone. And I'm like, he's like, so you're going to have to clean yourself up. I was like, all right, so I'm just like wiping myself down, you know, just like fucking just like snot bubbles everywhere. It wasn't cute, you know. As I open it, Tamina's there. I'm just like, hey, sis. And she was just like, what you doing in there? And I'm just like, I'm just a really big fan of Dwayne. And just like, kind of just like, kept walking. I was like, I don't know what else to say. And she's just like looking at me like, she's like, I don't know what just happened, but that's weird.
Oh my God. To keep that kayfabe must have been like the hardest thing.
It was awful. And like, these girls already just went out there and just did like the whole battle royal thing with AJ and none of them could beat her, right? And then you had me coming in there and being like, hey, sorry, ladies, but. The next day, Fit came up to me, and it was like 5 minutes before the doors were about to be open, and then he brings me out there. And no one's told me anything all day. Then Fit's like, hey, you're going to win the Divas Championship. And I'm like, oh, my God, it's happening. So we start crying again. And then he was like, but no one knows. And I'm like, God damn it. Like, and he was just like, all right, come out here. And so we're like, we were talking to AJ and Tamina, and we're like, this is what we're going to do. And AJ was just like, all right, the only thing I don't want is a submission. She was like, just beat me clean. I don't want to tap out like right away. Like we have to build, right? So I was like, sounds good. So we did the fucking, I hate the page turner, by the way. I hate it so much. The reason why I stopped doing it was because of that match. I came back and Randy was like, you beat her with a leg sweep. And I'm like, I can't help it. Like, it's just like, if that kind of move, you need like, two people.
Oh yeah,
like,
it's
you know,
timing. The movie timing. Version was a lot better than the real life version.
Man, I was just no like, offense. I was like, but you know, whatever. I had two other finishes I can pull out at some point, right?
Yeah.
But yeah, so then we went out and did that, and then came back, and it was just my life had completely changed.
I'll bet. Like yeah. That's got to be great career moment or greatest career moment. If I had to,
1,000%, probably the greatest career moment. Yeah. Because not only did Dwayne tell me, but also the next day it actually happened and I became a Divas champion.
Yeah, you mentioned your life changing that night. Like, where would you say you felt more pressure to be the champion and make this debut? Was it more external pressure from like writers, colleagues, whoever, or from yourself?
From myself. Well, you know, you all of a sudden you're the face of the company for the females, right? Once you have the championship, you're the face. So you're the one that has to go do all the interviews, all the photo shoots, all the magazines. Like, you have to go and do all of it. And like, you have to like have a certain standard. And I just didn't feel like I looked the part. I was always like very insecure about the way I looked compared to these other girls, even though I wanted to keep remain and being myself. I was just like, yeah, but I still don't look the part. Maybe they should go do this interview because they're literally what WWE is. You know what I mean? And then, but they're like, no, you have to go do it. So me and my crusty lip ring and freaking comb over was just like, all right, let's do this. Hi, I'm the WWE champion. It was just very strange.
Wild, wild. Yeah. So, yes, a heck of a debut.
Yeah.
Certainly very memorable. You... traded the belt back and forth with Lee over the summer. You regained the belt on your 22nd birthday.
Yeah.
That'd be a great birthday gift.
Yeah, that was cool.
You made your WrestleMania debut proper the following year at 31 in San Jose, and you were teaming with AJ against the Bella Twins.
Yeah.
So, you know, pretty much a whole calendar year had passed from main roster debut to this.
Like, yeah.
In like so many words, like what would you say changed the most about you as a performer from like debut to that point?
I was more confident, and I got to wear, like, I was wearing wrestling gear, finally, that I was comfortable in as well. Like, I wasn't in the purple anymore. Like, I was wearing my black and studs, and I felt more like myself again. So I felt like, yeah, just a wrestling gear change is, like, a big difference for a performer. For
absolutely.
Real.
How'd you feel about that match, the one with the tag match?
I liked it. I mean, it was a WrestleMania match, so whatever. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it's freaking awesome that I got to be a part of WrestleMania. I just felt like we could have done more. But back then, we were kind of, like, restricted again. Like, you know, we couldn't do very much. But now when you see matches, you're like, I wish I pushed harder to do more in it. That's the only thing.
Yeah, I think there's something really important about this time period was, I think it was a little before Mania. It was you guys who had a tag team match. It was you and Emma versus the Bellas. And it was a match that ended in 30 seconds, and that prompted the big Give Divas a Chance hashtag.
Yeah,
which then
yeah.
kind of began the ball rolling on what we now know as the Women's Revolution. Like, was there a feeling amongst the girls, like, collectively, it's like, hey, they're not giving us these chances, like, sucks
yeah.
to have this short time? Like, what
was
the
awful.
Vibe like?
We hate it. We literally hated it. It was just, like, any time that the time was getting, like, a little too... like, if the boys went over, the girls would get cut, or their time cut, or just completely, just cut out the show completely. And I remember the girls had, like, a Total Divas match on WrestleMania, and they were supposed to have it, and then it got completely cut from the show, like, when they were about to go out. And we were just so sick and tired of being like thrown to the side. We're like, no, we deserve these moments too. And I know that we can all wrestle if given the chance, right? So I remember it was the tag match. And then as we were about to go out, I can't remember who it was, but they were just like, oh, your time's been cut. So you literally have like 3 minutes, right? And that's with exit and entrances too. You know what I mean? So we have to, the time from us doing our entrances, and luckily mine and Emma's was dark, right? They were like, don't worry, we'll give you a dark entrance, which means it was non-televised. But the Bellas still had to do their entrance. And then we still had to get the finish in and get the hell out of there. And so me and the Bellas were just like, I remember Nikki actually turned to me and she was just like, you want to just do a roll up and get the fuck out of here? And I was like, sure. I mean, we're going to get yelled at, but sure. So Fit was like a producer then, and he was trying to make changes to like the match that we had, and he was trying really hard to still make it feel good and look good. And we didn't tell him that we just was just like, let's just do a roll up. So we pretty much went in there, was like, boom, boom, roll up, one, two, three, got out of there. And then as we came back, they were like, you had so much time left. And I'm like, we didn't have so much time left. Like, what are you talking about? We were just like, we'd rather go out there and do a diva roll up than have to be out there for like 2 minutes trying to put a good story together. Like, there's just no point. So after that, everyone just kind of got sick. I feel like everyone started getting sick of it at that point. Like, people in the crowd were kind of noticing that the girls were kind of being pushed to the side,
right,
and not being utilized, you know, especially like, I feel like after me and AJ kind of had that storyline where it was getting people like interested again, because again, it wasn't like your typical diva. It was like the frenemies, freaks and geeks thing. Like, it was just something very different. And so like, and then they started to like misuse us again. And then it was just like, people just got sick of it. Like, we got sick of it. And they were just like, you know what? Like, and it felt good to have the fans stick up for us. It felt fantastic. So I was just like, they support us. So at this point, it's just you guys that don't support us. Right. So, you guys tweeted so much, though, it made Vince be like, I hear you, don't worry, you know, and kind of make a change. So if it wasn't for you guys, we probably wouldn't have such a big change now.
Yeah, well, you know? So thank you to the fans for making that
happen. Thank you, guys.
Thank you.
For wanting better for us.
So the Give Divas a Chance hashtag blows up, and so WWE's answer to this is we are going to call up three of the four horsewomen, and we're going to put them in different teams, and the Bellas and Alicia Fox will be in their own thing, and we'll have Team Bad, we'll have Team Bella, and then we had the Submission Sorority. I'm sorry, the Team
Submission
PCB.
Sorority. I'm just like,
the Submission
can we
Sorority.
Stop with
what
these
happened?
Sexual jokes to me, please?
Yeah, I was going to say, like, that was a bit of a faux pas.
They just didn't realize.
That name. Yeah,
I'm like, a quick Google search, buddy. That's all it needed.
Right.
Quick Google search.
So for a long time, for the rest of the year, we're getting these, like, series of matches with like, the three trios teams. And I think a lot of fans at the time, what I remember, were fans kind of thinking, like, huh, like, it's you're halfway there.
Yeah.
I feel like you're getting, hey, there's these new women. Hey, we're getting these women's matches. But they feel like there was kind of like, on a hamster wheel almost, kind of like no forward progress with that. Did you feel that way?
Yeah, well, it's only because now they had
trading
like
wins, I guess, yeah.
Yeah, they just didn't know how to use women at that point. So they were just like, all right, give Divas a chance. All right, we'll bring up all these incredible women too. And then we're just not going to know what to do with them. And then we're just like, so we just keep on going to this thing where we're all kind of like married to each other, where we just had to keep wrestling each other over and over again. So it was kind of the same thing until you kind of like put your foot down again and you're just like, hey, can we switch this up a little bit? Like, and so, like, in the end, I turned on everybody. I don't know why they put me on teams, because they always make me turn on people. But I turned on Charlotte and Becky, which for some reason the crowd were cheering for. I'm like, you're not supposed to cheer this, you guys. I'm a heel. But, yeah, it was. I feel like they were just happy. I think the crowd was just happy for the groups to be broken up.
Right. So moving on to this, post that run, Charlotte had become the champion, and you were feuding with her.
Yeah.
There was a moment here when you're doing that build where you bring up Reed Flair in the promo.
That was the most awful thing I've ever had to say.
Talk through like what you were going through and like how that whole went.
Yeah, first of all, it was not my idea. I just want people to know that. I remember seeing a TikTok recently, and it had millions of views on it, just being like, she's such a piece of shit. And I'm like, I didn't, like, it wasn't even my, like, idea, right? So the writers were trying to come up with stuff, and we were like the main event, and we had to have a promo that was going to make people like watch, and like it was the button at the end of the show, so we needed something big. And Charlotte was the one that brought up potentially saying something like that. She's brave, dude. Like, she's a badass for real. And I can see it was like already breaking her just even mentioning it. And I was like, Charlotte, like, I don't have to say this. This is absolutely fine. And she was just like, no, it's okay. We can do this. And Vince was just like, no, this is good. This will be good TV, you know. And when I said, I was about to say it, and I was just like, oh, shit, oh, shit, oh, shit. And then I said it, and I just felt the crowd, like, you could feel the energy just being like,
yeah,
like, that's awful. Like, why did you just say that? And I'm like, I promise, like, I didn't just say it, like, just to, like, funny, to be funny. Like,
yeah,
you know.
I mean, even to hear you, having you heard you say it, it sounded like it was an effort to get out.
Oh, it was
so
awful.
Hard.
It was absolutely awful. And then afterwards, Charlotte came back, because I can already see it in her face, even when I said it, and she knew it was coming, it was still tough to hear. Mm. You know, of course, your brother just passed away, you know, and now it's being made into a promo. And so, she came back and she was in such good spirits, though. She was like, I think it went really well. And I was just like, are you okay, though? She was just like, I'll be okay. It's fine. You know, I just wanted to give her like this big hug. But she was such a good sport with it. And I wish I just didn't say it. That's the one thing, like, I've all my career, I'm talking about everything, you guys. Literally everything. You know what I'm talking about. I just wish I didn't say that one thing.
Yeah, no, it was a heavy line for sure. Let's jump ahead, because we talked a bit earlier about your injury and having to retire and whatnot. Talk about when you were given that platform to kind of make your retirement address.
Oh, yeah.
Like that, I mean, that must have been a nice moment for them to say, here's the floor is yours, essentially.
So the interesting thing is that women don't usually get a big farewell, right? Usually it's like it was on the WWE website or it was like a tweet or something like that. So I spoke to Vince and I was just like, if I have to go out, is it okay if I have like this promo? And he was all for it. He was like, absolutely, yes, you can. And so he was like, you know, we should save it though. It was his idea, because I already knew in like December that I was done. And then the Royal Rumble came along and then Mania came along. And he was like, since we're in New Orleans, you should retire the next day since that's where you debuted. And I was like, that's a great idea. Yeah, I'll do it then. So I had to wait 4 months without telling anyone. I was still going out being like, you know, the manager and stuff like that. And they were like, get in the ring, you pussy. And I'm like, I can't. If not, I would, buddy. Yeah, I'd do a lot of like running away and stuff like that, which wasn't even part of my character. I just couldn't do anything, right? And so, that came along. And anytime there's something big coming along, you guys, I always lose my voice. It's like a stress thing, right? So when I debuted, my voice was gone. When I re-debuted, my voice was gone. And then when I was during my retirement speech, my voice is gone. And I was on commentary for Mania for the girls tag match. And Vince was like laughing in my ear. And he was just like, you have like a dude's voice right now. Because I was just like, here comes Billy Kay. And like, it was just like really aggressive.
He keeps it light.
he was just like, Vince to me, by the way, you guys, is always so nice to me. And he just like, he's like a big kid. He was always like joking around and stuff like that. But he was like, you're going to have to rest your voice because you need to have your voice for tomorrow, right? And my voice was really deep, you guys. Like, it was bad. And so, like, I was trying to drink tea all day, like a throat coat and stuff like that. Honey, just trying to, like, not talk to people. And then I finally get to the promo, and it was just, he was like, I just want you to say this one thing. Are we supposed to round up? Oh, okay.
We're
just like, bitch, stop talking. Oh, 10 minutes. There we go. All right.
We're good.
All right. I forgot what I was saying now. Oh. No, I forgot what I was saying now. What was I talking about? I was drinking tea.
Thank you. Yes.
Oh, he wanted me to say this one thing. That's what it was. He was just like, make sure you say, you can say anything you want, but make sure you say, now I have to go find something else to do. And at that point, I had no idea what they were planning. I just thought I was getting sent home, you know. And the road dog came up to me and he was just like, we're going to need you for SmackDown. And I was like, I just want to go home. Like, why? Why do you need me? And so I get there the next day, still nothing. No one's telling me anything. And then all of a sudden, like, I see a bunch of writers and Road Dogg, like, walking up to me and Shane McMahon. And I'm just like, am I about to get beat up
That's
right now?
That's intimidating.
Like, there's a gang coming up to me. And they were just like, hey, so you're going to be the GM now. And I was like, oh, nice. Like, this is so cool. Like, that's amazing. Thanks for, you know, having something for me straight out the gate, you know. And so they were just like, and no one knows about it. It's always that secrecy, man. So I have to like run around. And they were like, gave me this promo, you know, to do. And they were like, pretty much say, this is what I have to do now, which is awesome. And the crowd were great. Like they reacted really, really well to it. And I was just super happy. I was really disappointed it was cut so short, though. I was like, I feel like I'm doing a good job as a GM. I was having a wild time doing
it,
you know.
Was that wrapping up? Because it did feel kind of abrupt.
Well, they just said that they didn't want to have GMs anymore. Mm. Like, and so Road Dogg had called me, and he was just like, yeah, so Vince just says that he doesn't want to have GMs anymore, so they went for a stage with no GMs, and now they have pretty much GMs back. But, yeah, they went for a stage like that. And so, like, they were like, don't worry, we'll give you a farewell there. So I'm just like, so you're just going to fly me in just to say goodbye and then take a hike?
Yeah.
Then after that, I just wasn't really used. And then, well, the Kabuki Warriors, we did something, but then I had my neck issue, and so I had to go have surgery, so I couldn't really, like... I couldn't really be there for them. So I said to Paul Heyman as well, I was like, is it okay if we do something where, you know, they flip the switch on me or something like that, just so they don't have to wait for me, because instead they have to wait for me to recover and all that kind of stuff, you know. And they were like, sure. So we did the whole Asuka spit in the green mist, you know, and then I sat at home for years. What the heck?
Now, I have to ask, you know, Brian Danielson was talking about when he was GM at the same time, how much he hated that role because it just reminded him of all the things he was missing out on as a wrestler. Did you feel the same way?
No, I mean, of course, like, it was bittersweet. I wish I could be in the ring wrestling, but it felt really good because I never had that many promos before. So it was always exciting. I'm like, how many promos am I going to have today? And then which ones are going to be live? Which ones are going to be pre-taped? You know, so I was still having a good time. Of course, I wish I could wrestle. Everyone, like anyone that's, you know, a wrestler who abruptly retires always wants to get back into it, you know. Mm. But no, I had a good time. I really enjoyed it.
You know, being the kayfabe authority on SmackDown and looking at, like, the landscape today in wrestling, I think a lot of ladies are getting more chances to have those admin roles, like Maria Kanellis Bennett and AJ Mendez and Molly Holly is a producer now, and Gail Kim's for Impact.
Yeah.
Like, do you see yourself in a role like that down the line, like working for somebody, either being a producer or being some kind of creative force?
Well, it's funny you say that, because when I first retired, Hunter came up to me like straight away. He was like, do you want to be a producer? And I just wasn't ready to be a producer yet. I was just like, I feel like I was so stubborn. And I was just like, I just feel like I'm not ready to fully hang up my boots yet. Like, there's always this thing in my back of mind, like, there's still a chance, you know. And so, yeah, I feel like now I would love to start a training academy. Like, I've always wanted to do that because, you know, I got brought up in training schools and stuff like that. And so, like, I had, like, this plan to start up, you know, my own training, like Seth Rollins has and Natty and everyone has. I'm like, I want to have my own ring and, like, get special guest wrestlers to come in and do some training, you know, and promo classes. You guys could be tortured with promo classes like I was. but I've always wanted to, yeah, those two. Yeah. And
check.
Yeah, so I've always wanted to do something like that.
That's awesome. I think a large part of your appeal as a performer has always been, and you've kind of alluded to this so far, is that, you know, you're not the typical diva, not the typical lady wrestler. I mean, your movie, Fighting With My Family, really talks about that as a main theme of embracing what makes you different.
Yeah.
What has that meant to your fans? Like, have you had experiences of fans coming up to you saying, thank you for spreading this message because it helps empower me, like that sort of thing?
Yeah, I've had a ton of fans like that come up to me. And I mean, I do still have some people in that thinks I've had like 25 fucking facial reconstruction surgeries. I'm like, I've done nothing to my face except for my lips. Don't get your lips done. All right, I'm talking to the little girl. Oh, I look like I had hot dogs on my face. It was awful. I regret those too. Like, they still haven't dissolved fully, but they're still smaller than what they were. I think it was, I mean, that picture is big enough. But yeah, I didn't like the hot dog lips. But people think I've had all this work done. I'm like, I haven't. I'm just not wearing all the eyeshadow up to my friggin' eyebrows anymore. I'm not in the page makeup constantly. I'm just like, you know, in a more relaxed setting. And people just accuse me of all these plastic surgeries. I'm like, I'm not. I promise. I'm just 30 now. You know what I mean? I'm not 18 anymore.
Right. Yeah. People change their appearance when they get older. It's true. One thing that I know you really fell in love with after, you know, retirement and everything was Twitch.
I love Twitch. Yeah.
Were you a big gamer before you started, like, for WWE and all that stuff beforehand?
I mean, of course you play like Super Mario and World of Warcraft and all that kind of fun stuff. But like, I just people would play. I'm like, I can't play Call of Duty games and stuff like that because I get really bad vertigo. I'm such a wuss. And so you have to like pop some ginger pills to even try and play it. And even that doesn't work too great. But you can do so much more stuff on Twitch, which is awesome. So not only do like I play like video games, but I also like to cook on there, build Legos. I love Legos. Travel, like I do IRL streams. Like I said, I would stream on my phone later for the signing, you know. It's just, you can just do so much. And they're so supportive on there. Mm-hmm. They're so supportive, so.
Talk to me about when WWE made that big edict about the third-party platforms, Twitch, oh, yeah, taking away the revenue. You had a,
mad.
You were in a big mood when that news first broke.
I was mad,
yeah. Yeah, you talked about that. Like, how did that end up getting resolved? Did you were able to get that power back on Twitch, or does they still have that hold on it?
So I had like someone's assistant that called me and was just like, we can try and negotiate something. And I was like, no. I was just like, I gave you my neck, right? That's enough for you guys. Yeah. All right, you're going to let me have my Twitch account. That's it. And so like, we kind of got in like this little kind of argument on the phone, but I was just like, you're not going to take my Twitch. Is it? That's not going to happen. I have completely shut it down, or, you know, you just let me continue running it. But I was like, I'm going to be really pissed if you try and take it away from me, because they don't have me doing anything else. I was like, yeah, you're not putting me on TV. You're not having me do anything at all. And all I'm doing is playing video games, and you're trying to stop me from doing that because you're not getting the money from it. Like, it doesn't understand. I don't understand. And so it pissed me off. So I just continued to do it. A lot of people kind of stopped doing it. And then Zelina at one point got fired for it,
right.
Which she got her job back, rightfully so. But yeah, I just kind of like put my foot down with it and was just like, this is ridiculous. Like, how are you not going to let us have a life outside of the company? You know, like, we want to do things. We want to have a YouTube. We want to play video games. Like, we want to have our t-shirts and stuff like that. Like, you earn a lot of money from us. Like, let us go have our own ventures, you know?
And you fought for it, and you have to keep it, which is pretty rad.
Exactly, yeah.
We are just about out of time on this one, but I do want to try and end on a positive note instead of talking about, you know, things with Twitch and whatnot. So I guess, you know, you talked about writing a book and everything, but what else do you see on the horizon? What is on the next page for Soraya?
Oh, man.
Somebody laughed at that joke, I think. Somebody laughed at that pun.
All right. What you laughing at? First of all, being called Soraya is so weird. I was at the mall the other day, the shopping mall, sorry. And everyone always is like, what the hell is a mal? and me and Lizzie, she's actually with me. We were there. There she is. We were there the other day, and this guy was like, Soraya? And I'm just like, I was like, put me off because I'm not used to people calling me it. So I just thought, does this person know me personally? Mm-hmm. So I'm just like, do I know you? Like, I was so confused. And he was just like, no, can I have a picture? And I was like, oh, at first I was like, oh, you just have like a recognizable face. I kind of just like played it off because I was so like shocked at someone calling me Soraya for the first time. It's weird. It's a weird feeling. But yeah, so I'm looking forward to the future. We have a lot of things, right, Meech? We have a lot going on outside of wrestling.
Things
outside
are good.
Of wrestling.
Yes.
Yeah, we're doing a lot of things outside of wrestling. I'm trying not to tell you too much, right?
You're used to keeping secrets, it seems. And you have to,
I'm
like,
used to it.
Kayfabe,
WWE is just like, not this storyline. Don't tell them about this story.
All right. Well, I mean, thank you so much for doing this. It's been great to talk to you and get to learn so much more about your career and your upbringing and everything beyond that. Thank you so much, Soraya.
Thank you guys so much for watching this.
And thank you to Fight TV. And stay tuned because there's a lot more great stuff happening for StarCast. Ric Flair's last match. Go check it out. Thank you, everyone.
Thank you, guys.